Okay, well, first of all, thank you very much for hosting. I appreciate it. And thank you for arranging. And welcome to everybody. So we want to talk about tapping into that Elul energy. All right, so this is the month of Elul. We're actually on day four right now because it's the third day, but it's the nighttime. So this happens to be the birthday of my twins and my one after that. I have four out of my six are born on Dalet Elul.
Right.
So, yeah. I have to call everybody. I better remember to call everybody and say happy birthday. Okay, so it's the month of Elul. It stands for Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, unless you're Breslov, in which case it stands for Ani L'Uman V'Ishti L'Ima. I'm going to Uman, and my wife is going to my mother. Right? So, because the Breslov Hasidim, many Hasidim actually, will, in olden days, would go to their Rebbe for the high holidays. But just the men would go, and they'd leave their wives and children behind. So usually the wife and children would go to her mom. And so that's just the joke of it. But really what it is Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. We have a lot of Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed hints in a lot of places. So for the name of the month, you know that the names of the month really are Aramaic, most of them, and they're not Hebrew. So, but we do look for we understand that even though they're Aramaic, they're not in the holy tongue. That still they have sacred meanings in the names of the month, and we do look for hints in Elul. But the key hint here is Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. So I want to start by talking about that a little bit, because I'll give you a handout afterwards. I did make an Elul calendar to hand out. And do you have a photocopier? Can you make a few extra copies? Not right now, but later. Or you can email me and I'll send you a copy.
I do have a photocopier.
Yeah, so either which way. So I think I have 13. And there's more than 13 here. But I made a calendar so that it's for the month of Elul. It's not connected to the secular month. So it's just an Elul calendar, and it's meant to be planning for this month, how to use the energy of the month. So in thinking about Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me, I think that we can use each one of those words for a week in the month in terms of tapping into the energy. So let's first talk about what is the energy of this month. So a lot of people think about this month as preparation for the next year. But it's the beginning of the month, and we really need to think about this month being the end of this year. And we often forget the fact that this is actually the end. So we have two competing expressions in Hebrew, Hakol Halach Achar HaRosh, everything goes after the beginning, and Hakol Halach Achar HaSof, everything goes after the end. So let's start with everything goes after the end, because we need to do a wrap-up of the year. So the first thing to do is to look at who have we become this year. Make an assessment of who we are, to assess and appreciate what we've become this year and count our strengths, count our successes, also to look at some failures. But first, we want to go with the successes. So so we want to just think about what happened actually last Rosh Hashanah. So as a concept, we know we're judged. There's a few times of significant judgment, but Rosh Hashanah is the time when the whole world is judged, not just Jews. Yom Kippur is when Jews are forgiven. Everybody can achieve forgiveness, Jew and non-Jew, but there's a special day that has an essence of forgiveness in it, specially set aside for Jews. Non-Jews have to figure out their own pathway. But Jews and non-Jews are all judged individually on Rosh Hashanah. Those 2 days are days of judgment. And on those days, during that time, that period of judgment, we ask Hashem, please Hashem, get off of your throne of din, your throne of justice, and please get up and move over to your throne of rachamim, your throne of mercy, and judge me from there. So what does that mean? If we want to be judged from a place of mercy instead of justice, what could that mean?
We'll try to forgive some of our foibles.
Right, right. We want Hashem to actually what we're asking is, please don't give me the consequences of all my stupidity and all my negativity. Right? I've done things that I don't want to bear the consequences for. So please move to a place where I won't have to face what I did. Really, that's what we're asking, right? But how could we really ask that of Hashem? We can ask that of an earthly court, please behave mercifully, please don't give me what I actually deserve. But we can't really ask that of Hashem, because Hashem is the God of truth. His seal is truth. So here's a piece of Torah that I learned from Rabbi David Foreman. It's an interesting thought. So we know that on Rosh Hashanah, we start repeating the 13 attributes of mercy, right? You know what they sound like? You've heard the Mishul. Hashem, Hashem, Kerach, Uvachanim, Erech, Apayim, Rav Chesed, Ve'emet, right? Does that sound familiar? So, Jonah, after the whole story of him trying to run away and not give the prophecy, what we read on Yom Kippur, right, not give the prophecy, swallowed by the fish, thrown up by the fish, swallowed by another one, he davens, he then accepts his mission, goes off to Tarshish. He doesn't want to have to give the prophecy. God says, I'm going to turn the city over, it's your job to go tell them, and he doesn't want to. There's all kinds of reasons, but in the end, they do tshuva, and they don't turn the city over. And Yonah is so angry with Hashem. He's furious, and he accuses Hashem by saying, I knew it. I knew your Hashem kel rachum v'chanun, erach apayim v'rav chesed v'not emet. He says, not emet. You're not a God of emet. He says, you're nichum al hara. He says that whole thing. Rachum v'chesed chesed v'nichum al hara. You're a God that changes your mind. You don't do what you're going to say. And he accuses him of not being a God of truth. And this is particularly important to Yonah. Who knows Yonah's full name? Yonah ben? Mm-hmm. Right, Amitai. Right? So he's Jonah, son of truth. Right? Amitai is that's his father's name, Yonah ben Amitai. So truth is a very important thing to him, and he sees that God is not behaving. What he perceives is God is not behaving in truth. And then the whole thing has to happen with the leaf and the plant and the shade and the anger and that. And he's so angry, he says, I'd rather die than be this angry. I'd rather die than be this frustrated. It's a whole long message. And in the end, God says, no, it is true. You just have to see. I said I'm going to overturn the city. Didn't mean I'm going to destroy it. There's a lot of ways to flip things, right? I could flip it and destroy it, or you can flip things in tshuva. They chose to do tshuva. The city was flipped. Yotze, we did it. Took care of the issue, they took care of it by doing tshuva. That's a truth. So, we have to figure out, how can we get Hashem to judge us in truth and let us off the hook? Right? That's what we want. We don't want to face all the difficulty that we faced. So, we ask Hashem to judge us from a place of mercy instead of a place of justice. What does that mean? How can we do that with truth in mind? So, Rabbi Foreman teaches, what is the question that Din asks? Justice asks, what have you done? Right? Now the question that mercy asks is totally different. Right? The root of the word rachamim is the same root as the word for rechem, womb. Right? So the womb asks a question. When a zygote presents itself, a fertilized egg presents itself to the womb has to say, are you worth my time? Should I allow you to implant yourself in me and give you 9 months of energy? It can't be a question, though, of what have you done? Because done nothing. There is no history to this. So the question is based on the future. Who can you become? So the question that Rachamim asks is, who can you become? Not what have you done, but who can you become? So we ask Hashem, don't judge me. Please don't judge me based on what I did. Because the trajectory that I created based on what I did goes to a scary spot. But hopefully, I'm going to do enough tshuva that I create a new trajectory for myself. And that leads into a different direction of what I can become. I haven't gotten there yet. But I've flipped my trajectory now, and I'm pointed in a different direction. Please judge me based on what I can become. So now, in Elul, is our time to say, what have we become? Right? We got judged based on that last year. What can you become? And now, the beginning of Elul, is time for that assessment. What have I become this year? Time to look at ourselves and say, what have I become? So I think that's the first week of Elul, is making that assessment. And actually, it works out great that this year is on a Tuesday night, because really we have about 4 weeks to go, starting with tonight into tomorrow, but it's really in 4 weeks is Rosh Hashanah, right? So if we think about Ani Le Dodi, V'Dodi Li, the first week of Ani is Ani assessment, Right? So let's look at who is the I. Who is the I that I'm offering to my beloved? Right? Let's take time to evaluate the I that is le dodi, that's to my beloved. Right? So first we have to be somebody to offer. And then you can offer, but first you have to be somebody. So the question is, who are we? So we want to take that assessment. First counting successes, and then looking at some failings. But it's very important to look at the successes. This year, I was doing some wondering about Simcha and how Simcha works into the preparation for Rosh Hashanah. Because we have four Rosh Hashanahs, according to the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. The two, the main ones that we talk about, really, this is the main one that we talk about, Tishrei, and the other one is, does anybody know?
Tu
B'Shvat is one of the minor ones. The major one, the other major one, is Nisan, Pesach, right? So there are two separate ones, and those two, it's interesting to think about. One is physical. This one is a physical new year, even though we get judged spiritually. That one's the spiritual new year. This is when we get judged individually. That's the formation of the nation. Our months start to be counted then, right? So Nisan is the first month, this Rosh Hashanah, when we flip the number of the years in the seventh month. So two Rosh Hashanahs opposite each other. One is physical, one is spiritual. Rav Hirsch goes into a lengthy explanation about that, which probably we won't do tonight. But each one has a month of preparation beforehand, right? Before Pesach, the spiritual new year, what is the preparation?
Getting ready for Pesach.
Getting ready for Pesach, which is? All physical. A whole physical month of preparation for the spiritual new year. And here we have the physical new year, and we have a whole month of preparation of spiritual, right? And each of those months of preparation are preceded by joy periods, right? So we have Adar, where we turn up the joy, and we have Av, when we turn it down. Right, but there's something about joy that comes before the month of preparation, before the new year, in both cycles. Right, so one has to be turned up and one has to be turned down. So we know that for our holidays, it says V'samachta v'chagecha. Right, everybody sings a song V'samachta v'chagecha v'hayita ach sameach. Right, there's really four psukim in there. Right, there's four psukim. Maybe it's just two. You should be happy in your holiday, and you'll be happy. Right? But in between is you, your son, your daughter, your maidservant, your manservant, your ger, your levy, your poor person, your orphan, your widow, right? That's who should be happy, right, is those people. So Rashi says, and then if those eight are happy, then you're going to be happy, right? So if we look at the definition of simcha in the Rambam, so Rambam says, what's simcha? How do we create that simcha? For men, delicious food. For women, new clothes, jewelry. For kids, toys, candy. Right? So what kind of simcha is that? If you think about it, it's interesting.
Physical.
Right. It's interesting how we use the physical to access the spiritual. You know, think about why do we break something under the chuppah? Today, it doesn't cause us any tsar. We're all so, comparatively, so wealthy. Anybody in this room is so wealthy compared to all the previous generations. How painful is it to break a glass? Really, it cost you 50 cents, cost you a buck to buy a cheap little glass at Walmart and step on it. It doesn't cause any pain. But before China opened up, before there were all these cheap exports, it caused a little bit of pain to break something brand new, right? Like it's chaval. You should feel that, oh, something broke. There's something broken. I'm supposed to tap into, there's something broken. We don't have a Beit HaMikdash. It's broken. There's something broken, so we want to feel that. When we fast, we're using the same way we use food on Shabbos to make us happy as a gateway into Simcha. We use fast as a gateway into there's something missing. I'm feeling hungry. I don't feel the on Tisha B'Av. How many of us are? I mean, I'll speak for myself. Really crying because we don't have a temple. It's not easy to access that. But if we fast, we feel like oh, there's something missing. I'm hungry. So the physical hunger is a way to explore spiritual hunger, to try to touch it a little bit. What's missing? Something's missing. Let me feel the feeling of something missing. So we do use the physical to try to trigger feelings, to try to get somewhere. So Rambam talks about that. But then he talks about the halacha. So Rashi says, so you have these eight people listed in these two psukim. So if you want your four, the first are your four, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant.
you want them to be happy, you have to make my four happy. So there's my four are the ger and the levy and the orphan and the widow. Those people who might feel disenfranchised. Levy doesn't seem like he belongs in the group there, really. But their cities are all divided up. They don't have an inheritance, really, that's easy to tap into. So they're scattered and a little bit could feel rootless, like they don't have a place. So we need to include them, expand our table to include them, not just be happy with our family. So the Rambam says, if you're just happy with your family, eating and drinking, having your lovely clothes, toys and candy, with your family only, that's simcha of the tummy. That's all it is. It's not simchat yom tov. It's simchat, I think Riso is the word he uses, the simcha of the guts, right? So that's all it is. But if you add other people into it, that's what real simcha is. That's when you become happy. So it's about increasing and expanding. So if simcha, if the definition of simcha is expanding our embrace of our community, that's what's absolutely necessary before we become a nation. Right? We have to expand and create real simcha and expansion before Nisan. Why then do we need to contract before during Elul and before during Av, before this Rosh Hashanah? What's the contraction about? So we have tsar that helps pull away the externality of who, how we think we define ourselves. Think about any tsar, any negativity that you've ever experienced, whether it's illness or financial, or a difficult child, or a difficult period in a marriage, or whatever it is. It all helps pull away the way that we define ourselves. I'll give you one place where I had to work on redefining myself. I had a very precocious, smart, not easy to deal with 10-year-old son. Right, so I'm trying to raise this nice, you know, yeshivish looking family, and it's working out pretty well. Now I'm a first generation yeshivish family raiser. So things are working, basically, but this kid is lost in school. Really care less what's going on. He's getting everything this fast, and every time the Rebbe repeats something, he's just like zoned out. He's reading a book in his Gemara. So he's not really paying attention, and meanwhile, one day we go shopping at the Gap. There's a leather jacket. It's $100. He wants it. I'm like, no, he's 10. I don't want him wearing it, but it's $100. So being a smart aleck, I say, thinking this was totally safe, you earn the money, right, you can have it, right? How is a 10-year-old going to earn $100, right? Except for the next week is the Gemara contest. And the prize is a shas or $100. Huh. And he wins. So he takes the $100. He said, Ima, I earned the money. Let's go get the jacket. Now I have to deal with what I said. I don't want him wearing a leather jacket, but that's so not the image of what I want my child to look like. But I said it. You earned the money. You could have it. I was stupid to say such a thing, but it worked out. So I had to stand by my words. He bought the jacket. He loved wearing it. I was totally embarrassed, but it was my first of many lessons of disassociating my success from the way my kids look, right? That I'm my own person, and they're who they are, and I have to learn how to navigate my own life and my own self-image and my own religiosity as separate and distinct from that of my children and choices that they make. Not that a 10-year-old shouldn't be directed, they should, but here I made the mistake, so I had to live with it. Anyway, that being said, that's what tsar does. Negativity in our lives helps strip away those external things from us that we think we can define ourselves through. And that's what's necessary as preparation, turning down the simcha, feeling the pain, and coming naked in front of God for judgment. But we don't come completely naked. Those 3 weeks of tsar help peel away the negativity, and then where do we go? Right into a 7-week period. Who knows the name of this period of time that we're in? Right. Right, 7 weeks of consolation. It's named after the 7 consoling haftorahs that we have. So we go from this period of peeling away our externality right into the loving arms of Hashem, who holds us and says, before you get judged, I'm going to console you. I'm going to take care of you. We're going to be together as a couple. Anila dodi v'dodi li. There's a loving period before the judgment. Usually there's a fearful period before the judgment. And there is some fear involved in El, some awe. But it's awe tempered by the love this whole month is about. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. I'm going to be judged by Hashem, who loves me. So, week number one. A neat assessment. Week number two is Lidodi, right? I am to my beloved. So what's to my beloved? What have I actually accomplished? How have I given to my beloved? How have I made a difference in Klal Yisrael? How have I made a difference for the Jewish people, in the world, in my family, in my community, for myself? What have I done that shows I am to my beloved? That's what Lidodi is, to my beloved. How have I been to my beloved? Let's look at that. Right, so I'd say that's week number two, and it's still part of wrapping up the year. But then it really is time to start looking at the next year. There's a very precious time to create a new self. So we have this opportunity every year to rewrite everything. So you could probably talk more about the days right before the days of creation, right before Rosh Hashanah, which I'll talk about a little bit, which I learned about from Rabbi Niven. But the days after that, so on the calendar, I have that listed for you too. This is really after Rosh Hashanah, which we'll go into. But we have a pregnancy week in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where we are gestating our new selves. But these days right before Rosh Hashanah is where we get to actually rewrite some of the DNA. The week of pregnancy also is rewriting it, but we'll get to that in a minute. So what we want to do then is some visioning. If we know we have the opportunity to write our new year, to actually create it, we need to do some planning of what we want to create. Who do I want to be? Right? So who do I want to be is really about the relationship that we're going to have over the year. Which brings us a little bit into the third week. Right? So if it's ani ledodi, and then vidodi li, right? So the third week is, and my beloved is to me. For me, the third week is, yikes, my beloved is Hashem. How scary is that? That I have a beloved that's so huge that I can't possibly fathom, and he loves me? It makes me feel very small at first, very small. When you just like think about the Yira, seeing how great, which we can't even comprehend how great Hashem is, seeing Yira is the same, Re'ya is the same root as the word Yira. So the more we can see, the more we have awe. And the more we have awe, hopefully we create, rather than shut down, but it should open up our ability to see. So there is kind of a yikes energy going on where it's so big, I have a great responsibility in this relationship. But the fourth week is actually understanding, well, however big Hashem is, that yikes feeling, that Yira feeling is, Hashem Li, Dodi Li, he loves me. He's there for me. The only reason why I exist is because he chose for me to exist. So I'm here in this relationship. I have the opportunity to create a new self. I have the opportunity to create a new relationship. So let's get to it, right? Let's really think about who do I want to be? So we want to, there's really three kind of steps. We talked about 4 weeks, but three major steps in the month of Elul. So we want to see where we're holding right now. Skipping the middle step for a minute, we want to see who we want to become. And then the middle step is to see how we get from where we are now to who we want to become. Right? So that's really a tshuva piece, right? So there's some fixing, some repairing, and some assessing of tools that we need to acquire. It's not all repairing, but there's quite a repair that has to be done in the middle. And that's some of why I made a calendar, so that in the assessment of repair, you might want to just write down when you're going to do some of that repair, right? Do you owe money? Do you owe apologies? Do you owe time? Do you owe stuff? When are you going to pay that back? You should really put it on the calendar, right? And just make a little list, but just you could say, maybe you owe somebody time. Like one, I was thinking for my own self that 1 year, somebody asked me to write a letter of recommendation for them. I didn't get to it, right? So what is that? That really is an owing of time. And if you blow the deadline, right, if you didn't write it long enough that they no longer need it, so now what you owe is an apology, right? So you have to figure out what do you owe and how can you pay what you owe. But then there's also investments. That's repair. But there's also some investments you might want to make. just now when I was in Yellowstone Park with my son, I saw a few postcards. I saw a lot of motorcyclists. And I thought, well, I know somebody who motorcycles. I'm just going to send them a postcard and say I'm thinking about them. I thought, well, if I'm going to send one, I should send a few. So I bought six. And then I really started to think about quite a few people, so I bought a pack. Right? So I sent 13 postcards. They were so happy, all the people that I sent. It was two sentences on a card. You can't even write anything. Just, hi, saw some motorcycles, was thinking about you. One I made really mushy. It was a picture of a geyser on the front, and a couple that I really appreciate. One's my teacher. So I said, you know, I'm here in Yellowstone, land of explosions and warmth. The explosions don't remind me of you, but the warmth does, you know, just thinking about you while I'm here. So whatever, just... But I got so many phone calls, thanks so, like, they got a piece of mail with a handwriting on it. It's exciting these days. So, but those were all investments in relationship. It took 3 minutes per investment. But so Shantova cards are a way to invest, a phone call, sometimes a gift. If it's a more difficult relationship, you might want to invest with a gift, or a relationship that you want to, a new daughter-in-law, whatever it is, you might want to invest in. So there's investments that can be made at this time of year. Okay. Where do I want to go from here? There's so much to talk about. Okay. In terms of creating who we want to be, we want to think about what it is that we want, who we want to be, the impact that the creature that we want to become, and the impact through that that we want to make on the world. So that's been the question I've been working with this year anyway, is what impact do I want to make on, and I have a few dot, dot, dots, make on my family, make on my community, make on Klal Yisrael, make on the world, right? So I want to fill in those blanks. Not everybody wants to make an impact on all those levels. I personally am ambitious and probably overly so, so I have that list. But I think it's something to think about in terms of who you are. So how can you become the person who will make those impacts? I have stuff that I want to accomplish, so I'm not fully ready to accomplish the things I want to accomplish. So I am going to have to do some thinking about what do I need to do to prepare to be able to accomplish some of those things, but I want to start getting ready. I have a lot to do. I'll give you one, for instance. A friend of mine wrote a book about the third Beit HaMikdash, the third temple, what it would be like. And so he just, it's a, I don't know what the, I guess a futuristic fiction, not historical fiction, but based on a lot of research that he's done, what it might be like, just imagining Mashiach and some of the turnarounds in people and some of the press coverage and, you know, in today's day and age with today's technology, you know, the distance learning that would be set up and the Temple Institute that would be there to educate Jews and non-Jews in their service in the, and I'm thinking, Temple Institute? I want to teach in the Temple Institute. How cool does that sound? What do I need to know to be able to teach in the Temple Institute? Like, I better start learning that. Mashiach is coming soon. There's a lot to learn so that I could be a teacher in the Temple Institute. Like, I totally want that. So I'm just thinking about it and doing some research. Like, what do I need to learn so that I could be a teacher there? So I don't know the answers yet, but I know Tum and Tara is one of the things, so I'm starting to look into that a little bit. But but I'm excited, right? I want to teach in the Temple Institute. So so you just might want to think about what do you need to learn, acquire, become, work on in order to make the impact, in order to be, in order to do what you want to do. So there's things to plan. Doesn't mean you're going to do it this year, but you need to get ready so you can start working on it this year. Okay, so the main thing that we want to, we really have two roles as Jews. I mean, everybody, and you could teach a lot about this, everybody has their own private and personal yud, destination, personal resonant life goal that has to do with their own particular life energy. But the basic life goal for all Jews is perfect yourself, perfect the world. That's what we're all here to do. And we just have to figure out what's our, how do we do that? But we're all involved in perfect self, perfect the world. And it's interesting to think about what Hashem says, build for me a mikdash, and I will live, what does that pasuk say, right? Ba'asuli mikdash v'shechanti b'socham, right? It should say, build for me a tabernacle and I'll live in it. But it says, build for me a tabernacle and I'll live in you. Right, so we understand from that, really, really that one phrase tells us so much about all of Judaism. It's all do, engage in doing, build, And the reward for building is, I'll fill you up. Right? The whole point of all the mitzvot is to engage in something physical so that you could be filled up with Hashem. That's the whole thing. Right? V'asu li mikdash v'shechanti b'tochem. So, and that's what we're all about. It is all about how do we create, how do we use the physical so that we make a vessel out of ourselves so that we'll be filled up with Hashem. Right? When it says, Bilvavi Mishkan, where is this from? Does anybody know Bilvavi Mishkan Evne? Is that a pasuk? Is it a song? Like, what's the root of it? It's a song for sure. Befeirush a song, as they say. It's a clear song. But it's interesting to think about it. I don't know where the root is of that. But Bilvavi, we usually say lev, in my heart I'll build a tabernacle for you. Usually the word is lev, and here it's levavi, right? Like we say when we say the Shema, you should love Hashem b'chol levavechem, right? So we say with the two bets, and Rashi comments on the two bets, that's the two sides of your heart. You have one heart, but the two bets means there's two parts of it. The part of your heart that wants to do good and the part of your heart that wants to do bad. You should love Hashem with both parts. My classic example of how I do that is, just one example. I have a goal to get up right away, right? That's the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch, get out of bed right away. Not easy to accomplish. However, for me, much easier to accomplish if I have like muffins or cake in the kitchen. Because that way, Yetzer Hara says, cake! And it can serve the Yetzer Tov that says, I don't feel like getting up, I know I should get up right away, but if I have the cake and get up right away, it works much better, right? Because then I can get up to have the cake, and then later I can remind myself I actually got it for the mitzvah. But you can use my Yetzer Hara to serve my Yetzer Tov. So we want to love Hashem with both sides of our heart. And then it's interesting to think about those three in a row, right? So you might think it's all your heart, all your soul, all your me'odecha, however you translate that, right? So soul is that you're willing to die for Hashem, right? So that sounds like the ultimate, willing to die for Hashem, right? But then why wouldn't that be the third? Really, the third one is you should love Hashem with all your me'odness, which translates today, the current art scroll translation, is all your possessions, all your stuff. Right? Could be all your veriness. Ma'od is a characteristic of veriness, like when we say Tov Ma'od, right? Ma'odecha, all your veriness. But really, it's all your stuff. So it's interesting to think about. So one is both sides of your heart. One is be willing to give up your life. But I think the third one is the most challenging, because that's being willing to not die Al Kiddush Hashem, but live Al Kiddush Hashem. That all of you needs to be used to serve Hashem. Not part. That's not what Hashem wants from us. He's not asking for a piece of you. He's asking for the whole thing, the whole package, how you dress and how you eat and how you walk and how you sleep and how you talk and how you have friendships and how you are entertained and how you rest and everything. Hashem wants it all, the whole thing. V'chol me'odecha. That's what he's asking for, the whole package. And that is the challenge of today, is how do we integrate the whole package into the whole relationship. And the more we can use all of our stuff, that's the bigger kli, the bigger utensil we can create, the bigger holder, and the more Hashem we can hold. So the bigger mikdash we build in our heart, the more Hashem can live in there. And that's really the goal, to create that space inside us that Hashem can live in, and then to, from there, branch out into the community and create the space really in the world through all humanity where Hashem could live. So, see, everybody's really sleepy.
It's warm in here. Tonight.
Yeah.
What did you mean by the bigger mitzvah? Like, how do you build a bigger one? The more you invest of yourself, is that what you mean?
The more you create space inside you. So here's a really fascinating concept. I'm glad you asked that question. So we know we talk about Hashem creating the world, something from nothing, right? And Rav Dessler says, yes, it's true, yesh me'ayin, but actually it's the opposite. Because if we think this world is something, this world is really nothing. The only something that there really is Hashem. So Hashem that we really can't come into contact with, there's no physicality of Hashem, brought this world, which is physical, which by definition will come to an end. So really this world is nothing. I mean, how long will it exist? If And no matter how you count the time, whether you want it to be 5772 or whether you want it to be 16 billion, it's nothing compared to Hashem in eternity. Nothing. Right? So, and there is going to be an end. There was a beginning. There will be an end. So this world really is nothing created out of Hashem. Out of something. So really nothing was created out of something. So it's interesting. In our Kabbalist thoughts, how did this world come into existence? First, there had to be a process of tzimtzum. First, Hashem had to contract himself in order to create the space for this world to exist in, which is one reason why we call Hashem Hamakom, the place, because we live in the place. Hashem is the place. There's no other place besides Hashem. So we live inside Hashem, right? So, but we're also supposed to act like Hashem. The halachta b'drachah, right? So one of the ways we can act like Hashem is to create space inside us for Him to live. He created space inside Him for us to live. We could be just like Him by creating space inside us for Him to live. How cool is that? Right? And how do we do that? We have to get ourselves out of the way. Right? Right? So it can't be a physical thing because Hashem doesn't need the physical space. So it's an ego thing, right? So that when we get ourselves out of the way, we create space for Hashem to live inside us. And through that, we emulate Hashem. So that's what we're trying to do. The more we can get ourselves out of the way, the more we can make ourselves into a vessel that just holds Hashem and not crowd Him out by keeping us there too. But it doesn't mean by ignoring who you are. It means by really coming into a place where there's a there is that space and it's genuine. It's not by sublimation. So, and I'm not fully equipped to explain how to get there. A word for it, which doesn't work well in translation, is bitul atzmi. So, again, it does not work well in translation, but nullification of the self. But it's not a sublimation. It's not a non-recognition of who you are. It's such a recognition of you, who you are, that you get that your most majestic place to be is that place of holding Hashem and bringing Hashem into the world for you. That you can be that kli, and you can bring Hashem in. And the more you understand that that's really your role, the bigger you can be and the more Hashem you can bring into the world.
So really the outcome is the same, whether it's sublimation or it's bitul atzmi, but it's...
No, because sublimation is really such a small space. Because you're still there. You're just like pressing yourself up against the wall rather than allowing the whole thing to expand. It's very...
Okay, I understand, but what's the motivator? What are you telling yourself while you're doing this?
You really actually only achieve, I mean, for the depth of it, you really actually only achieve a kiyum, real existence, to the extent that you attach yourself to Hashem. Because the further you are from Hashem, the less you actually exist. Because there's a beginning and there's an end, and that's only how big you are. But the more dvekus, the more attachment you can accomplish, the more real and eternal you become.
So how do you, like, second-guess yourself? And right. How do you check? How do you check if you're doing pizza last year or if you're doing supplement?
That's a good question. I would say continue deep in learning, Musar learning, and, in Chassidus, there are two sides of one. Sometimes explained as two sides of one coin. I don't really believe that Moser and Chassidus, I think they're both in the same direction. You just have to figure out what it is. But learning in that area of how to apply, those are the areas of application. Okay. So continued learning in those areas. And hearing the concept. So as you hear a concept, so it deepens. And as you take a walk, some of this will click in. Because it just does, it has to percolate and click for yourself. Because right now, if you think about it, I mean, Rabbi Akiva Tatz talks about language and how language works. So if you just think about how words work, they have to be unpacked inside you. So if I'll say the sentence, I love you, and I could say it genuinely to anyone in this room, right? I definitely have Ahavas as well. So I can definitely say, I love you, which means something totally different to you than it means to you, a longer-term friend, when I say, I love you. Right, which means something very different than when I say it to my husband, to my child, right? So each one of us knows how to hear those words. I package that feeling into my words. I send them out. You receive them, and you have to unpack it and figure out the meaning, right? So in a sentence like that, especially with something we're familiar with, we can unpack it pretty easily. And in something like Torah thought, it sometimes takes longer to unpack it, and sometimes we don't have the kalim necessary, the tools necessary to unpack that sentence at that time. But the words stay there, and the kavana, the thought in the words, stay there until sometimes you develop a tool to be able to unpack it properly, and there's a click. And that happens for people. So sometimes you just have to hear it, and it clicks in place when it's time.
Right. I guess you need the learning anyways, because otherwise the same action could be, you could end up resenting yourself.
Right. And then you for sure know you're not doing it.
Right.
Right. You for sure know. If you're ending up with resentment, you for sure know you're on the wrong path.
Right.
Right. That's like a for sure indicator. Right. Right. Any other questions as we continue on the way? Come on, guys. Okay. I'll let it continue percolating. Let's see where do we want to go with that. Okay. All right, so one thing that I want to point out that's very important is in considering who you want to be, nothing can prevent you from desiring what you want. Ein devar ha'omed b'fnei haratzon. Nothing can stand in the way of desire. It doesn't mean, that sentence doesn't mean that you can accomplish anything you want. It means you can want anything you want. Nothing can stop you from wanting anything you want. And it's important to know, we often stop ourselves from wanting things because we think we can't achieve it, so we stop even wanting it. Stop short of desiring it. But the desire is a very important force. And it's important to create desires even that may be or appear to be beyond what we can accomplish. So it's important to start out with the desire. So often I ask people, just to think this way, what would you do if you had enough money and enough time and enough energy and everybody in your life agreed with you? What would you do? What would you want to do? So if you don't have a quick answer to that, if it's not coming up right away, it's something to really think about. What would you do? If you had all the money necessary to accomplish it, that's not a problem, right? You don't have to worry about fundraising for this. You know, Kickstarter for you. You have it, right? And you have the energy. Don't say, oh, I'm too tired. My body doesn't work well enough for that. Whatever. No, you could do it. You have the energy. And you have the time. It's not that you're too busy raising kids or taking care of grandkids or trying to plan for whatever it is. You have the time. And nobody is even telling you that's a ridiculous idea. Everybody agrees with you. It's great. Right? Now what? What would you do? And sometimes you can come to a root of an essence of who you are by seeing that. So it's good to know. What do you actually want? And we have to get in touch with what we actually want. And then start to think about how could we accomplish parts of that. And sometimes we have to go through a process of seeing what we want. It's interesting to think about. Sometimes people think very small. What I want is my toddler to be, you know, I want there to be a good program that I could send my toddler to. Why? Well, because I want more time. Why? Because I want to read. Why? Because I want to get more educated. Why? Because I want to finish college. Why? Because I want to become a speech pathologist. Why? Because I know so many people whose lives were ruined by the way they talk, and I want to make it so that people communicate better. Oh, you want to impact on communication, right? Like, but sometimes it takes a while to get there. Like, sometimes people are so narrow in their thinking that they don't get to what they actually want to do. They're just thinking, like, short term, how do they get out of the immediate sorrow that they're in? So it's important to think about, like, what do you want? Nothing can stand in the way of your desire. So it's important to generate a strong desire and see how could you get there. First, get in touch with it, and then see where can you go? What part of that might you be able to affect? Right now, with your toddler home, how could you help people communicate better? You know, or whatever it is, but at least get in touch with what it is. What's your inner desire? Where would you want to head? Who do you want to be? And then you can see what kind of steps you could take to get there. Whether it's a 1-year step, a 20-year step. Turns out, many of you know, some of you don't yet, that there's a long life and a lot to accomplish. So you don't have to have everything by 20. That 40 is also an age of strength and power, and 62. And I'm just thinking that hopefully 80 is too. A couple of years ago, I saw somebody, I went to a funeral, and watched the coffin be lowered into the ground. She was 96. And I thought to myself, I was surprised at the thought as I was standing there. But the thought that came up was, I just don't want to be that young when I die. And I just, that's too young for me. So I said, I'm on a triple-digit plan. I don't want to be 100 either. I want to be solidly in, right? So, which means that if that's my desire, I have to start changing things now, right? So I started to exercise more and eat a little bit more healthy, and I'm working on my sleep, you know, because, like, I have a lot to do, and I don't have time to die right now. I'm busy, right? And I want to accomplish a lot. So if I want to accomplish that much, then who knows? That's bracha if I get there. But I for sure want to do my proper preparation and planning that I want to make it solidly into my triple digits healthily. So you have to know what you want. Where do you want to head? What do you want to do? I want to accomplish a lot. So it doesn't mean I have to be triple digits. No, but I want to accomplish a lot. So working on it. Okay, so let's just look back at the calendar, and then I'm going to pass it out to you because everybody is fading. But I encourage you to take your calendar and fill in the work that you want to do. It might be a thought work. You can't do it all at once. So, but whether it's something to think about or an action item, so you have a month to work on assessing who you are, deciding who you want to be, and then figuring out how you're going to get there and try to put it in. So these 5 days before Rosh Hashanah are special days. 6 days the world was created. Rosh Hashanah is the birthday of the world, right? So that's on Rosh Hashanah when humankind was created. But the days before are all creation energy days. So they're special days for investment of rewriting the DNA of the world and us. We get to write both. So as we rewrite who we are, we are, the Kabbalists tell us, we are a small world. Each one of us encapsulates the world. So what we do ourselves affects the whole world. So how we work on the DNA inside of us makes a difference and an impact on the whole world. So, and the creation energy is open at that time. We're able to work with that energy. Then comes 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and then we call that period the 10 days of repentance, 10 days of tshuva. But the days in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are 7 days, 1 week, 1 week of pregnancy. We're gestating our new selves. Hopefully we put the energy into thinking about who we want to be. If you I'm stealing your sneeze. Kind of reaction. Well, you should be healthy no matter what. During our pregnancy times, it's a time to invest. You want to be more careful with nutrition and a time to protect, right? More careful with standing on a stool. My mother was nuts about that. You never know when you're going to faint. Don't step on a stool, right?
Because you're tall.
Ask somebody else to reach it for you. No standing on stools, right? You want to protect. But you also protect by, I mean, hopefully none of us, you know, struggle with smoking or excessive drinking of alcohol. But certainly when somebody's pregnant, if they do have that, they definitely work hard on cutting that back because you want to protect. Right, so you want to invest and protect. So during that week is a special time for investment and protection. So we often take on extra mitzvot or protect ourselves, and they don't have to be mitzvot that you take on forever. It could just be something that's investment during the pregnancy. So you want to invest in that week and protect during that week. One of the things you could do to protect would be protect against anger for the year and just make a decision that that week, just that week, no anger, no matter what. Not getting angry that week because you want to protect. It's a pregnancy week. You want to be extra careful. So that's a particular week to invest in and protect. And each one of those days has a double, I don't know the right word, so I'll just use a word that I don't really like but kind of works, a double magic in each one of those days. Each day, the Sunday of that week is the day to do tshuva on all the Sundays of the years past, the year past. And the Sunday of that week is the day to invest in all the Sundays of the coming year. So each day works backwards and forwards. So we want to make sure that that energy is well used, that each day is planned. So I wrote out just, the calendar only goes for the first 4 days of that, but you may want to just extend the calendar and just think about how do you want to do the tshuva for, make that day work well so that you're doing tshuva on the back and that you're investing in the future. Because it goes in both directions, each one of those days. So those are days to use very carefully, really think about. And the more you think and plan, the more you can use those days well. So, any questions before we wrap up? That's sort of how we get to
happen. Just to say, you said to shoot back, and what was forward?
Investment okay. forward. That, so you want to spend some time now, and it does not have to be this week, because this week really, it's still the beginning of the month. You want to be wrapping up the year. But eventually, pretty soon, put it on your calendar, you want to spend some time visioning who you want to be, and those would be days to invest. Let's say one of your goals is to become a Talmida Chachama, right? You want to be more learned, right? So I personally would like to be more learned than I am. I would like to be able to learn. I would like to be disciplined enough and interested enough. I'm interested enough in the results, but not always in the actual learning. I'd like to be interested enough and disciplined enough to learn a couple hours a day, every day. That's not happening. That's not a reality for me. That doesn't mean that I couldn't make a commitment on those days to do that. Maybe I could commit to an hour a day, just those seven, just to make sure that I have invested disciplined learning energy into that week so that it will play out. Right? So whatever it is, maybe it is your temperament, maybe it's financial control, right? That during that week you're going to work on paying down some credit cards and not buying something that you want, right? So that you're exercising fiscal control that week. Whatever it is, so that you're making an extra investment in what you'd like to see bear fruit. But you're not going to know what to invest unless you've done the thinking about what you want to become. So you need to do that beforehand, before this week, before Rosh Hashanah. Think about who you want to become. And that's also extremely important when it comes to, again, asking Hashem to get up off his chair of his throne of din and get back on his chair of mercy to judge us again. Because we want to be able to show up in front of him and say, first of all, I did become something. Second of all, maybe not as much as I thought, but this year I really thought about it, and this is who I want to become. Please judge me based on this work that I've done. I want this. So judge me on who I can become, not on what I've done. Right? So you have to do a little work in order to be able to actually come to Hashem as the Hashem of truth and say, I've been true, ne'aman, in my work, and I'm asking you, please assist me in this, help me build this, live inside me, and let me grow into who I want to become. So those are some of the tefillas to weave into the thoughts and tefillas and kavanas to weave into these days. Who do you want to become and how are you going to get there?
So is that how you got to that we're gestating that because we're moving more of Hashem into us? Is that what you're, like, how did
no,
you...
No, the gestating is gestating the year. You're giving birth to yourself.
You're giving birth to yourself.
To yourself, yeah. Actually, this I got from Rabbi Israel Tauber. This whole lifetime is actually gestational. So especially for the Jew who is gestating something particular, a particular flavor of neshama that we'll give birth to, that's why we have more investment that we have to do and more restraint that we have to do our whole life. Because we are gestating a Jewish neshama to give birth to at the end. Right? So that soul is dipped into our body, and really our body is the gestational pod as we move through this world with the investments and the refrainings that we do. As we gestate the soul that we're going to give birth to when we shed this gestational pod.
So how does that week of the
Saracenation? So that week is gestating the year. So it's our energy. It's an energetic gestation that we are thinking about the person that we want to come. So that's what gestation is, creating what will be.
So this is Rabbi Taub?
Tauber is the whole year.
Oh, so,
the whole,
okay,
the whole
so
lifetime.
Who came up with this
who's
idea?
Who's the root of that? I don't know. It's already an old thought in my head, so I don't have it attached to a person.
So it's just not, is it based on like a puzzle?
No, this is a concept that this is the time. I mean, these days are gestating, but I'm sorry, I can't give you a source for
that's
that.
Okay.
That's where the Talmidei Chachama desire comes in. I should be able to use those sources. Not there yet, but I got the concept. So, yeah, so but we are gestating who we want to become. And that's what Yom Kippur is about, is then letting go of the past and moving into the future, and that's why we have Sukkot after that, to celebrate the fact that we're born into our new relationship.
So which day were we born? Yom Kippur?
Well, so we're born through that. That's like, in a way, a birth process. But we should come out of Yom Kippur fresh, a fresh new creation. Right? Shiny, fresh, and clean. Because we were born through that day. But gestating through that whole, this whole time period, really, we're starting. Mm-hmm. Okay, any other questions?
I definitely want to review.
So, Ani, Lidodi, Vidodi, Li, assess self and see where you're headed. appreciate who you are. Recognize your mistakes. Fix them up. That's the middle of the month. Fix up some mistakes. Vision who you want to be, and then figure out how you're going to get to who you want to be. What investments will you make? And ask Hashem for help the whole way. He loves you. Totally there for you. Hashem thinks you're great, so just take advantage. You know, and take the energy and move forward. That's the relief, hopefully. Thank you. And you can listen to the tape. All right, let me pass out the calendar pages.